This time, while we spent that time there in Florida, we visited a number of different churches, and we enjoyed it. But it just still is no place like home, and so we're glad to be back again. I've really enjoyed these days that we were these last few evenings and the process that we've been going through as a congregation, and we've been praying about this now for some time and thinking about it, and I've really been blessed of being here and seeing the work of the church go on. I'm just so glad for the work that the ministry team is doing, for Dana and Harold and Lynn and Sheldon and their wives and so on. I just appreciate so much all that they do. Appreciate Todd and Terry taking their time to come and assist and help us work through this. It was interesting. Todd made mention the other evening that he thinks this is ordination number 6 that he has helped us with. And I had to stop and do a little counting and so on. But I also figured it up a little bit, and I think it's over 20 years that Todd has assisted us as a congregation. And not only in ordinations, but working through maybe some problems and different things that he's always been willing to help us, and it's really been a blessing to have Todd do that. I don't know if many of you realize this. Todd is a very busy man, and of course works for Gospel Echoes, and also he is the, I'm not sure the exact term, moderator or chairman or president or something of the BMA, the Biblical Mennonite Alliance. It's a conference, and he has a lot of responsibility there too. And so I felt very fortunate that they took the time to come. And also glad for Terry Myers, and I've known Terry for a number of years, and appreciate his help that he's given to us. I've been asked today to give a message. Last evening, Todd talked about the responsibilities of a deacon, the kind of work that a deacon does, and he reminded us that all of us have those responsibilities, and did a very good job of that last evening. I've been asked to talk and to preach this morning on what we as a congregation can do to support the one that's chosen. Of course, we already know that, don't we? We know Sam, Miriam have been chosen. We struggle with this. I do a little bit. We say Sam and Miriam have been ordained to them as a deacon. Well, Sam has been ordained. Miriam is a real part of that too, and so we include them together. But how can we as a congregation encourage them? How can we support them? And really, this message has to do with the whole team, really. But we're thinking, of course, particularly of our situation that we're in right now here as a congregation. You know, we call people to the ministry. And we call them, and we're calling them to a big responsibility. We're asking someone to take and really change their life in many ways. I've noticed that we usually call busy people. You know, it's been said that if you want to get something done in a hurry, ask a busy person to do it. And we call people that are already busy. We know that they are someone that will be willing or able to do the job. And so they already live busy lives. But now this is something on top of it. And you know, maybe some adjustments have to be made in some of those areas. But I don't believe it's fair for us as a congregation to say, now we ask you to do this, and just go ahead and do it. And we sit back and say, well, we've done our part now, and now it's up to them to do the work of a deacon. And so that kind of leads me to this title that you might have seen in the bulletin. And the title I've given is, Let Me Know If You Need Anything. Or we might say, Call Me If You Need Anything. Is that a positive thing or is that a negative thing? Have you ever used that statement? I have. I think most of us probably have at some time or another. We sometimes use that, and here again, I'm kind of using that in a negative sense today, but I realize we can do that sincerely, and I don't want to take away from that. But we also can use it as kind of a way to relieve ourselves. We're talking with someone, we know they've got a real burden. We know that they're really hurting in some way. We know that they've got things that they're really facing and so on. And we're not sure what to do. We're not sure what to say. And it's kind of a relief just to say, well, if you need anything, call me. How often do we get those calls? Do we get calls from them later on down the road and say, you know, I remember what you said back there, and so I'm calling you to help me with this. Well, that can happen. I'm not saying that doesn't happen at all. But probably, by and large, it doesn't happen. Probably in most cases, that doesn't happen. And I think it can be a way of us kind of taking and shifting my burden over to them. Now you think about that, and what we can, you know, it kind of takes the burden off of me and kind of puts it off to them. Now, I don't have to do anything. If they call me, I'll try to work it in. But it kind of puts the burden over on them. I think that in those situations, the way that we, if we really want to help, one of the things we'll do with those people is we'll stay connected with them. And we will try to find ways of helping. We'll try to see ways, if we're connected with people, we will see ways that we can help. Now, I also want to say this, when we try to help people, that doesn't mean we try to dominate them. Sometimes I see people trying to help, and people can do it very innocently, but they can almost try to dominate people, tell them what to do, and so on. That's not really helping. And we need to be careful of that. But when there's a real sincere desire to help, then I think that we can find ways of doing that and helping in that. And I think the same goes for here in the church. You know, it'd be very easy to tell our deacons, you know, well, if you ever need any help, just call me. Well, that sounds good, and I hope we sincerely mean that. And so they feel free to call. But you know, it's hard for them to call us if we're not really connected. If we're not really connected in the church. And if we don't show an interest in the church otherwise, then it's hard for them to really stop and call us to get involved. That's why I think it's important for us as believers. We need to be involved in a body of believers. We need to take part in it. We need to be here, if at all possible. Not only on Sunday morning, but I think Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, events that are going on and so on. I'm not saying we have to be here absolutely every service. That's impossible for all of us. But I think we need to form that physical and mental connection with the congregation. And because I think that's the way we can really be able to serve. One of the things that Todd mentioned a number of times last evening, and that is we are saved to serve. We're saved to serve. Now I realize we can serve the Lord other than just right here in the congregation. I understand that too. But it is something that is important. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, you get involved with people and you can get hurt. And so we're scared of getting hurt by people, and that happens, and that's sad when it happens. Sometimes people misunderstand, people make comments without thinking, and so on, and those things can hurt our relationships, and so on. There again, we need to forgive, and we need to go on. Anything worthwhile has its risk. Anything worthwhile has its risk, and we need to take those risks, even with those relationships and so on, and even to the risk of getting hurt. And so, it's very important that we do that. And I think that's one of the things, and we'll talk about that a little more. How we can support our leaders and so on. Over in Acts chapter 6, and Todd referred to this last evening, and I agree with him that I would call these men that were chosen, I would call them deacons. I would say that's where we get the basis for our deacons. I noticed that one word that stood out to me there in that in Acts 6, chapter 3, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." That word "over" stood out to me. That we may appoint over this business. I really think they chose these men not to actually do the work, not to actually wait on, they said waited on tables, well that was a term that they used, and they might have done some of that. But you think, and I was amazed when Todd said how many thousands, what was the figure he used last night? Did he say 25,000? I think he said there could have been 25,000 people involved. I never thought of it quite that many. But you think of the amount of administration and so on that it took to take care of people. Now, some of those might have went different places and so on by then, you take even 1,000 people, the kind of administration that it takes to handle a group like that. And I think what they were choosing here was administrators. They were choosing men that would be able to head up this work, and they were chosen for that. One thing that stands out, I had to think, you know, this work of a deacon, I've just come to appreciate it so much over the years. It's been a very, very important part of the ministry. I would just hate to see us to be without a deacon. And I just love what has taken place here. We've had a deacon, we've had two assistants, and Sam's and Levon's have done that now for I think it's on the third term, third three-year term is kind of my recollection. So it's been quite a number of years, and they've done such an excellent job of assisting the deacon, Brother Sheldon. And I would really hate to see us be without that. Many churches do not have deacons. And I've discovered that even in our conservative Anabaptist churches, that there's quite a number of them that do not have deacons. Now, sometimes they use different terms, and they can maybe get some of the same things done, even though they may not have that exact title. But I have just really appreciated this term. But I guess the point I want to get across here is, these were administrators. And they cannot administrate if people are not willing to help. There needs to be people that are willing to serve and so on in order for them to be willing and able to be administrators of the work. Now, how can we help? What can we as a congregation do to assist and to make their job easy and a lot easier than what it might be? First of all, I think we need to serve willingly and cheerfully. Willingly and cheerfully that we serve. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, we usually connect that with giving of our money, but I believe that is also giving of our time and our talents and abilities and so on. And we need to do that cheerfully. We need to do that wholeheartedly. You know, it's music to the ears of those that when they put up a list, or maybe they approach someone and say, can you do this? And the response is, sure, I'll be glad to. That's music. That is good music. And it's something about that that just is encouraging when people, they sign up on those lists. It didn't take long. And I just really commend you as a congregation, the way you respond to those things. In getting involved and helping. A couple weeks ago, here I was down in Florida, and I get some pictures. Maybe it was a little bit of a reminder there, I don't know. But I got these pictures of the guys over in the auditorium, and with masks on and tearing down drywall and so on, there was such a response. A different one said it was such a good time of working together and doing that project. I just commend you for that. Doing it willingly and cheerfully. So that's one of the things that we can do in helping our ministry and the deacons and so on. Another thing is, I think it's important to, now I want to be careful how I say this, it's important to do it under their authority. Now what I mean by that is that, and I'm not saying that anything you do has to go through the deacon, I'm not saying that. But sometimes in projects that involve the church and so on, you know, Todd talked about this last night, that one of the things that deacons sometimes deal in, they can deal in some very sensitive areas in people's lives. Remember those, the two most sensitive areas that of people's lives? What was it? It was their children. If you criticize their children, or you criticize their finances. And I had to say amen to that. I mean, I thought amen. That those are two very sensitive areas with people. And sometimes in these projects, there can be sensitive areas And so it's important to listen and to work under what is trying to be accomplished and so on. Work under, I use that term, work under their authority. And try to hear how we can really help. What is the best way of helping? And so they know. They understand. I think sometimes they know things, they understand things, see things that need to be done. And so it's important to work under their guidance. What are some other ways that we can help? One of them is to pray. I think we have a responsibility to pray for our leaders and here in the church. Remember them. Over in Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember those that rule over you. Remember. And I think that remember is, it doesn't mean we just wake up and say, well, let's see, who is our leaders? No. It's pray for them. And remember them before the Lord. Bring them to the Lord. And do that every day if possible. Pray for them specifically. Pray that they can be growing spiritually. Pray that they can have the physical strength and so on, the emotional strength that's involved in their work and the responsibility. You know, our leaders make their own living. And they have jobs and so on too. And so they have the stresses of those things. And on top of that, the care of the church. And so pray for them. Pray that their work, their business, or whatever they're involved in for their living can go well. Pray for Satan. Satan would not be able to get in and hinder them. Pray for protection from Satan. Pray for their families. Pray for their wife, their children. And because those things are things that really can take up a lot of time and occupy, and they should give a lot of time to them. But pray for their families too. They need wisdom. They're just like every one of us as we deal with families and so on. We all face the same type of problems. Pray for wisdom for them, that God would give them wisdom, that the Holy Spirit would indwell them and just really empower them for their life, and not only in the church, but in their homes and everything, their work and everything that they do, that just pray for our leaders. Secondly, speak words of encouragement. Speak words of encouragement, I think, is so important. Words that bless. You know, words have a way. Words can be very discouraging. Words are something that can take and just tear a person down and almost destroy us. But likewise, words can be a blessing. Words can be something that you might say rejuvenates us and just encourages us. So speak words of encouragement. Thank them when you see something that they have done. Just say thank you for what you're doing. You know, they do, especially the deacons, do a lot of behind-the-scenes work. A lot of things that we don't always see. And we need to show appreciation for what they do. And so speak words of blessing and encouragement. Number three, be patient. Be patient when mistakes are made. We all make them. And whenever we're involved in the lives of people and all the things that go on and so on, it's easy to make mistakes. It's easy to say, oh, I should have done that differently. I can see that now. And sometimes we can all see it, you know. But, you know, be patient with that. and realize that, yes, I too make mistakes. And I too can see things that I should have done better. And if we approach a person about it, do it kindly and understandingly in the mistakes that we make. Sometimes we think mistakes are made and we may not know all the facts. Maybe sometimes it's things that they can't even talk about. But don't have a critical and judgmental spirit and try to find fault. And here again, I don't sense that around here in the congregation. I sense a patience with mistakes and so on. But just realize that, you know, it happens. And we need to be very forgiving in that. So I just I guess that's just a few things. I'm sure you can think of other things that we can do as a congregation that can encourage our leaders. And I hope that we can really take this to heart. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to serve Christ and the church. And we need to realize that. And I want to turn over to Matthew 25. And, you know, sometimes we think that I remember, I think it was Todd last night said something about, or somebody recently said, they talked to someone and they said, you know, I really have a relationship with Christ, but I don't need the church. And I thought about that. But I thought over here in Matthew 25, I think really in a sense speaks to that very issue. Over in Matthew 25, verse 31, I want to read that to the end of the chapter. And I think we're going to have to stand before Jesus someday, before God, and we're going to have to answer, you know, what we did, how we served, and so on. Matthew 25, verse 31. Then the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. And then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Notice the brethren there. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited Me not. And then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And I suppose people could take that and say, yes, we're saved by the work that we do. But I believe it boils down to what Todd was saying last evening, And that is, we are saved to serve. We're not saved to set. We're saved to serve. And you know, I believe that we as a congregation, if we can come alongside of our leaders and be willing to serve and do it cheerfully and do it with our whole hearts, whatsoever we do, do it as unto the Lord. And if we can do that, I think it's going to make their work so much more pleasant and so much more easy. Lord bless you. I do commend you for all, as a congregation, for all that you do. And Lord bless you for all your service that you do. And so, thank you. Let's stand for closing prayer. Okay, we have Alyssa, Crystal, and James are leaving for Bible school. So let's pray for them too. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for working in our hearts and our lives. Thank you so much, Father, that we can trust you for everything. And Lord, I just pray. I just pray, especially right now, for Sam and Miriam. And what they have been called to, Lord, that you would bless them and care for them, give them grace and strength. Father, I pray for us as a congregation. Help us to commit ourselves to, Lord, serving as unto you, and keeping that in mind, Lord, when we serve, it's as unto you, as if you was right here. Lord, I want to pray for those that are going to Bible school this week, for Alyssa, Crystal, James, and I think also for Lisa Eicher. Father, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that this time can be a real blessing and a growing, an encouraging time. I pray for the Bible school, the Elnora Bible School, Lord. I just pray that you would just really work there. Help the instructors and the teachers and each one involved there, those that cook, and Lord, just that it can be a real work as unto you. Lord, I want to pray now as we have this time of a fellowship meal together. I pray that you would bless the food, and Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for each one that prepared But Lord, just for all of us, as we have this meal together, that can be a blessing to each one. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.